Hosea chapter 3, and this morning we want to think about the first three verses of Hosea 3 and the subject of God's amazing love for the unlovely. Friends, to understand the book of Hosea, you must understand the background against which it was written. Here in this third chapter of Hosea, we find the prophecies concerning the restoration of Israel as a people. To understand this section, we must understand that the book of Hosea was written by that prophet whose name it bears. The name Hosea, it means salvation. Salvation. And so this book is a message of salvation to a spiritually bankrupt people, the apostate and unfaithful people of Israel. During the days of Hosea, and remember Hosea was living just over 700 years before Jesus Christ, and so he was at the same time as Isaiah and a number of other prophets. He was one of, in the southern kingdom of Israel, and he lived at a time of prosperity in the land. Israel was a very prosperous nation materially at that point. They enjoyed peace politically and militarily, but they were morally bankrupt. Oftentimes that happens. The more affluent we become, the more we have, it seems spiritually, we diminish. And in verse 1, of our text, it describes their spiritual condition. They are said to look to other gods and love flagons of wine. It says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go ye, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods." That's what they were doing. Among the other gods, they looked to what was the Canaanite god, Baal, and worshipped Baal, and the spouse, supposed spouse of Baal, Ashtoreth. They involved in so vile acts of worship that would be among those things that the Apostle Paul says that it should not be even mentioned amongst us. But suffice it to say that Israel was guilty of great spiritual evil. And while the people of Israel had no real love for God, they had no real love for His word or for His worship, when a prophet appeared, they were interested. They were interested to see what he would say and his actions. And that is why the Lord often used the personal lives of the prophets to illustrate His relationship with Israel. And this is the case in the book of Hosea. God used Hosea and his wife Gomer and the children born into their relationship as a picture of His relationship with Israel. And through this family, God will reveal His love for His wayward people. In Hosea's relationship with Gomer, we can see a wonderful portrait of the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. There is hope in Christ Jesus. Wherever there is a Gomer, this adulterous woman, it's a picture, there is hope for sinners like us. And so I want to take these three verses at the beginning of Hosea 3 and to speak to you of God's amazing love for the unlovely. And Gomer was unlovely. And there are three things that I want to mention this morning. First of all, there is this loving pursuit, the loving pursuit in verse 1. And then secondly, the sacrificial purchase. And finally, in verse 3, the converting purpose. It's three P's: pursuit, purchase, and purpose. The loving pursuit, the sacrificial purchase, and the converting purpose. So first of all, from verse 1, there is this loving pursuit. To understand the depths of Hosea's love, we must first understand something of Gomer's life. You see, Gomer was the wife of Hosea. And here the Lord says to Hosea this. Then so the Lord said unto me, go yet, love a woman, that is Gomer, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. When Gomer first appears in chapter 1 and verse 2, she's called the wife of whoredom and children of whoredoms. This doesn't mean that God commanded Hosea to marry a prostitute. Most likely Gomer was a chaste woman when Hosea married her. The phrase, a wife of whoredom in chapter 1, simply means that she was an Israelite. It means that she was a product of her society. She had been affected by the society around her. She had been raised in idolatry. She had been raised in rebellion. And maybe that is you as well. Maybe you find yourself that you were raised in a certain home situation that was very worldly, very materialistic, very much affected by the things around you. Maybe your parents pursued after the things of this world, and you see your life being shaped by that. You see, at first, Hosea's marriage to Gomer must have been a happy time for both of them. God blessed their union by giving him a son whom they named Jezreel. That's again in chapter 1 and verse 4. But by the time you come to our text, however, Gomer is called an adulteress. In chapter 2, it says this in verse 5 of chapter 2. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. In other words, Gomer becomes a prostitute. She committed adultery while she was with Hosea. And then she leaves him. She leaves him for another man. It's a sad, sad state, but it's reality. It's what we see in this world as well. It's nothing new. Now it appears that her new lover is finished with her in chapter 3 and has put her up for sale. She's now being sold for sale. In verse 2, that is what we see, that Hosea actually goes and buys her. And this is a glimpse into Gomer's lifestyle, is a clear picture of what sin produces in every life it touches. A lifestyle of unrepentant sin may bring pleasure for a time, for a season, the scripture says, but eventually it leads to ruin, it leads to devastation, it leads to destruction and death. And this is the thing that we see all around us. This is why there's a groaning in this world. This is why the sad things and the bad things that we hear of. Sin always leaves its marks. And eventually, if it is unrepented of, it leads to hell. The Proverbs tells us, Solomon tells us this in Proverbs 13 and verse 15. The way of the transgressors is hard. It's hard. By the way, no one gets away with sin. We see people around us and we think, well, they've got away with it. No, my friends, there's always a price to pay. And there's a God who sees. But according to Hosea, in chapter 1 and verses 6 through to 9, Gomer was guilty of committing adultery against Hosea. The child that is born in verse 6 was named Lo-Ruhamah. And this means no mercy. The child that is born in verse 9 of that chapter is called Lo-Ammi. That means not my people. The first child was Hosea's, while the next two children were not. So Gomer was guilty of violating her marriage vows. And eventually, Gomer abandoned the family to pursue her lust after sin. And of course, this woman's actions are a picture of the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. That's what Israel had done. Their lust after the other gods, as you read in verse 1 of chapter 3. The gods of the Canaanites. And the fact that they abandoned God of their fathers. And Gomer is again a picture of the lost person. A person who has no purpose in life. They don't know the Lord. And just like Gomer, those who are lost in their sins pursue their own desires and lusts, and they care nothing about the Lord. They care nothing about God who has made them and provided for them. And friends, left to ourselves, if we are lost sinners, we'll never seek the Lord. We'll never seek the Lord. If you're left to yourself, you won't seek the Lord. The scripture says this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 11, a very convicting passage. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that seeketh after God. If you are left to yourself, you will not seek the Lord. So that is why you should call upon the Lord. Lord, work in me. And then something else we see is, despite how she has hurt Hosea, despite how she has treated her children, despite how she has lived her life, Hosea still loves her. This is, you think, why would he do that? It is a strange thing that he would do that. And the Lord says, go, in verse 1, go yet love a woman. This woman is referenced to Gomer. The phrase here, it means this, that show her again how much you love her. That's what it means. And the Bible says that she is beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. And that phrase, it means that she is a woman who loves another man and is still guilty of adultery. So when Homer receives this command to go after Gomer, when Hosea receives this news from the Lord that to go after Gomer, he doesn't hesitate. Would you hesitate? Would I hesitate? But he trusts in the Lord, and he goes after Gomer. Why is that? He goes after her because he loves her. And he loves the Lord who is calling him to do that. He loves her before, and he loved her before she fell into sin. And he still loved her despite her sin. His love is so great that he is willing to do whatever it takes to bring her back to himself. That is amazing. And that is a picture here of the amazing love of God for sinners. Did you know that? Did you know that no one had to tell God to love us? No one had to encourage God to love us. His love, the scripture says, is everlasting love. It is eternal love. He loves first before we ever knew him and before we ever loved him. He did not have to be encouraged in that. He loved us before we were born. He loved us when we were a baby. He loved us when we chose sin over righteousness and over him. He loves sinners still. In fact, he has always loved his people. He has always loved his people. Nothing can make him stop pursuing sinners of all kinds. And that's what we read in that passage of the sheep that was lost. It was just one, but he went after them. He went amongst people that you wouldn't sit with, maybe. With people who were tax collectors, wicked people. People who everybody hated. People who were also prostitutes. People who were drunkards. He sat with them. He ate with them. He talked with them. He challenged them. He sat with those who were outcasts. And they accused him. And they said, look, this man receives sinners. What kind of a prophet is that? That was supposed to be a bad thing. But actually, we rejoice in that. We praise God that Jesus Christ receives sinners. Because that's what I am. If he didn't receive sinners, then What's the point of coming here? What's the point? In Ephesians 2 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this, that God's love is a great love. It's not just love, it's great love. Can you calculate that? He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He could have just said love. With his love wherewith he loved us. But he says, but with his great love. This means it's a surpassing love. It's a love that knows no boundaries. There are no limitations. It is unconditional. It is timeless. It is self-sacrificing love. It's wonderful beyond words. We may spurn his love, yet he continues to love. We may not have time for him, but he continues to love. We may ignore him and say, I don't want to know, yet he still continues to love. That's why there are people who later on in their years, they might be sitting in a church service like this and they really don't want to be here. But then later on in life, they're converted. Why? Because the Lord continued to pursue them. That's why. We ignore him, he doesn't ignore us. We may turn a deaf ear to his pleas and callings, but he does not stop calling us, at least outwardly. He challenges us and he comes to us. He loves us regardless of who we are or where we are or what we've done. His is an overwhelming and awe-inspiring love. And so the Bible teaches us this, that God loves sinners. That's the picture here. God loved sinners in the way Hosea loved Gomer. That's the picture. And Hosea pursued after her, went to her. Thank God for a love that never quits, but pursues the sinner to the very end. Those for whom Jesus Christ died will be pursued and pursued until they are found, until they are brought in. So that's the first thing, the loving pursuit. Now the second thing I want us to realize is the sacrificial purchase here. The sacrificial purchase in verse 2. It says this, so this is what I did, Hosea says. The Lord says to go and love, to demonstrate your love to Gomer. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an omer of barley and an half omer of barley. So he tells us what he did. So when he finds Gomer, it appears that she has been sold into slavery, or he wouldn't pay for her. He wouldn't have had to pay for her. She has probably been sold as a prostitute. Imagine that scene. Imagine, God says, go and find your wife and love her. And then he goes and finds her. And she's been put up there to be sold. He searches the country for Gomer. And eventually finding her in a slave market. For sale. For the highest bidder. And so when he sees her, does he hate her? No, there is no mention of hate. It just says that I went and bought her. There's no hate there. He does not turn away. He doesn't abandon her to a life of sin and wickedness. Though it must have broken his heart to see his wife there being sold in such a condition. And so Hosea did what he had to do. Notice some of the things you read here in the description, which tells us that Hosea had to sacrifice. This purchase was a sacrificial purchase. Look at it again. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an omer of barley and an half omer of barley. So we are told here that he bought her for 15 pieces of silver and for those amounts of barley. You see, the standard price of a slave was about 30 shekels of silver. That's what we have in Exodus 21. But Hosea doesn't have that money. He doesn't have all of that money. So he pays what he has. Everything he has. He pays for her. Why do we know he gives all of his money? Because then he goes and pays the rest of it by barley. You see, barley, it's interesting. It's the cheapest kind of grain you could have. Barley was a grain used by the extremely poor people as food. Other people would have fed animals with barley. But that's all Hosea has. So that's why we know he gave everything he had. And then this grain, the barley grain that he had also. So it cost him everything. So it cost Hosea more than his money. It not just cost him his possession, but think about the shame that was brought upon him. He had to go into this public forum, and before this crowd of witnesses, he had to purchase unto himself a woman who had betrayed him many times. Yet that is exactly what he does. Did you ever see that before? He willingly paid the whole price to redeem Gomer from a life of slavery. And so his action is just like a picture of the gospel. It's the picture of what God has done for lost people. Like Gomer, the lost people are slaves to their sin. But God, in his great mercy and great love, came in the person of Jesus Christ into this world and gave himself everything. Everything he had. He gave himself for their treasons, for their sins. He gave himself as a sacrifice. He gave more than 30 pieces of silver. He gave his very life, setting his blood on the cross of Calvary to purchase a people unto himself. And so Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, that is bought back with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. No, you've not been bought by silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God gave his best. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly suffered the pain, the shame, the public humiliation. Hosea had to go and experience that shame. That here is, this is my wife. I have to buy her. Look at what she has done. She's become a slave and a prostitute. And God sent forth his son under our condition. In that humiliation, even he was spiritually separated from his father to redeem his people from their sins. Jesus Christ was mistreated by those Roman soldiers, we read in the scriptures. He was ridiculed by the Jewish leaders. The Lord Jesus was even ridiculed by the two thieves who were crucified at each side of him. He endured all of this so that he might make a lavish purchase and redeem his people from the slavery of their sins. He saw us on the marketplace, selling our souls, sold out to Satan and sin. But he came to purchase sinners. But notice again here that he again says, so I bought her for me. So I bought her to me. Gomer already belonged to Hosea by virtue of their marriage. She was already his. Now she is his completely because he has purchased her. She's already his because he has sacrificed everything to make her exclusively his. And this name Gomer, it means completely. She was completely lost in her sins, and now she's completely loved forgiven, redeemed by grace. You see, she didn't deserve that love. That's why it is gracious love. And the same is true, friends, when God redeems a people. When God saves a sinner, that sinner becomes his possession. And that's why the scripture says, you are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. And what was that price? Who can value that price of the precious blood of Christ? Not only does God redeem the sinner, the relationship is far more intimate. God becomes their person, that person's father, father in heaven. And by the way, that is that relationship, that transaction is eternal. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 and verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And if you think, stop to think of that, about the price God paid to redeem sinners like us, how can we turn a deaf ear to his call? When you think about this, when you consider how much he loves vile sinners, what is it that keeps you from coming to him, trusting in him for salvation? Christians, when you consider the price Jesus paid, the shame he bore, and the length God has gone to save you, how can you not bow before him? In love, in obedience, in gratitude. How can you not then die to yourself daily? I read about the story of a boy who had built a sailing boat. And he built the sail and he had it all fitted, all painted, ready. And he took it to a lake and he pushed it out, hoping it would sail. And then the wind came and took it all away. He couldn't get it back. And so he went home and his mother said, well, how did it go? Did it work? He said, it worked too well. So he lost his boat. And so then, sometime back after that, he was walking in town and he saw in a second-hand shop on the window that there was his boat there. So he goes in and he says to the shop owner, that's my boat. And he goes and picks it up and it starts walking out. And the man says, well, wait a minute. That's my boat. I bought it from someone else. The boy said, no, it is my boat. Look, it's got my scratches under it. I made this myself. And this man said, well, no, you can't have it, son. I bought it. You have to pay for it. And so that poor boy didn't have money. He worked for it. And then he went and paid for it and had it home. And as he was carrying it home, he was saying, you are my boat. You are twice my boat. First, you're my boat because I made you. And then you are my boat because I paid for you. Have you been made twice God's? I ask you this, have you been made and owned by God twice? First, you are God's in a general sense because God has created you. God has given you health and the breath that you breathe. And so in one sense, God can say, you are mine. But there is something else. Has Christ paid a debt that you owe? Have you come to him? Have you come to that realization? All believers in Jesus Christ, they have been paid for by Jesus Christ. We become his when we realize that he bought and purchased believing sinners on the cross. He paid a price to redeem his people. Christians are his by this double ownership of God. He has made us and he has bought us. So there is this sacrificial purchase. And finally, there is this, what I call the converting purpose. There is the loving pursuit, the sacrificial purchase, and the converting purpose. And that's what you read in verse 3. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. So he says to her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Why does he say that? You see, this woman had been used and abused. And he says, you need time. You need time. You need a place of safety. You need to be healed. You need to be cleansed. So have many days for your healing. One of the reasons, of course, Hosea does this is that he was simply obeying the Lord. He was obeying God's clear command. But another reason he does this, because he did love her. Hosea loved Gomer. And here also, another thing is that she needed healing. She needed cleansing. Hosea, you see, was wanting to make a different life for her. He wanted Gomer's life to change. And when he redeemed her, that is exactly what he did. So he places certain things. He calls her. He commands her to do certain things. He guides her in certain ways. He provides for her in certain ways. And so it is with those who come to Jesus for salvation. When God saves a soul, he does it because he loves us. He also does it because he has a desire to deliver us from the bondage of our sin, so that we are delivered to live in a new life in Jesus Christ, and we become new creatures. And so notice how it is done in this account. Thou shalt abide for many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. He's expecting her to be different. The woman Hosea is taking home is not to live like the woman he bought off the slave market. Hosea tells her that her life will be different from this point onwards. And so this is what Jesus Christ does. He transforms those who come to him. He changes them, makes them new people, new creatures. A new man. He makes us to be born again, afresh. Born from above. Friends, if you have really met Jesus Christ, you cannot stay the same. You cannot stay the way you were. He receives you as you are, but he changes you. He's a life-changing Savior. He's a life-giving and a life-changing Savior. And then there is this new commitment. Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. And thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. It's so much full of meaning. It speaks about the fact of giving that time. He requires her to be chaste. The new life requires chastity. She's now been redeemed. She's been bought. She's being brought home to be healed and cleansed. He says that your days of loose living is now ended. She's not to be for another man, it says. And her redemption and the love of her husband are not to be taken lightly. That's what he's saying to her. He has paid a high price for her. He gave everything for her, even the barley that he had. And so she should be respectful of that. She should honor that. She belongs to him now. And to no other man. And that's the picture of what we have in salvation. God saves us to deliver us from our sins and to give us a new life in Jesus Christ. But he expects that we will be his alone until he calls us home to heaven. And so we are to honor him by the lives we live. We are not to be listening to the world and the temptations of this world. And they would try to pull you away this way and that way, wherever you live. Then there is this new companion. He had sacrificed, Hosea had sacrificed his money,
his time, his dignity, to purchase Gomer, his wife. And she must have begun to see him through different eyes now. She, evidently, with her sinful heart, she must have grown tired of their relationship, and that's why she abandoned their home. Now he has proved his love for her. And know that she has seen this. She has seen this new love for her, and she now has this new love for him. There is no record after this moment of any discord in Hosea and Gomer's home. Their marriage has been restored and their family has been reunited. What we see here then is a picture of absolute commitment on the part of both the husband and the wife. And so it is for those who know Jesus Christ. They love him because he first loved them. And so they have this desire to live for him. Oh, they fail, and Christians do fail. They sin, but their desire is to pursue after the Lord. They go after the Lord. They fall, but they rise again by God's grace. They know that he's dependable. We know that Jesus Christ is dependable. He is faithful, the scripture says. Do you trust him? He's faithful. You can trust Jesus Christ to keep his word. He's dependable. When he says, I will never leave thee, trust in him. When he says, I will not forsake thee, trust in him. When God saves us, he forever joined himself to us in a relationship, in a covenant that will never end. And that is amazing. I heard about a pastor who lived in America many years ago. As he was going outside of the building, he saw this boy going walking past, and this boy was carrying a rusty cage in which there were several birds that were fluttering in that cage nervously. And the pastor said, son, where did you get those birds? And the boy said, well, I trapped them in my trap in the field. And he said, well, what are you going to do with them? I'm going to play with them first and then feed them to my old cat. And so this man offered to buy them. He said, I will pay you some money for them if you sell them to me. And he said, mister, you don't want them. They're just old wild birds and they can't even sing very well. And the man said, no, I'll give you some money for it, for the cage as well. And so the boy took the money and he went along happy and thought that he has made a bargain. And then the man went at the back of the building and released those birds. And the next Sunday morning, he took this old rusty cage into the pulpit and used it as his illustration. He said, this is us. This is us. This boy told me the birds could not sing. But when I released them, they flew away and they began singing. They were released. They were set free. They had been redeemed, you see. And that's the way God works with us as well. We have been captive, we have been taken captive by sin and Satan, but Christ has purchased the pardon of all those who would bow to him in faith and repentance, and he will let us go. He would set us free. And you have more value, the Lord Jesus Christ said, than a sparrow, or that many sparrows. And when a person has this life-changing experience, he will also sing, and he will not just sing, he would want to sing. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, as the hymn says. Oh, the amazing love of God. That he would love people like us and to save us. You may not be feeling very hopeful this morning, but think of Gomer. Every time you think hopeless, you think of Gomer. That sinful wife, it gives hope to every sinner. I wonder, have you experienced this amazing love of the sacrificial God? God sacrificed his only son, his holy son, Jesus, to pay the price for us. Oh, trust Jesus Christ then with all of your heart and go and follow him. Praise him for his grace, which is so amazing. And it is, isn't it? Well, may God write these things upon our hearts.